الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Respected listeners, as part of a longer hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَغْدُو فَبَائِعُ النَّفْسَةِ فَمُعْتِقُهَا أَوْ مُوبِقَهَا أو كما قال sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means that every morning people emerge from their homes and they set out to a different destination every day in their life. Either a person emancipates oneself or destroys oneself. The wording is that each morning people set out. All people set out in the morning. And then the people are divided into two groups. Everyone also trades. They sell their souls or they sell something. And therefore they are divided into two categories. Those who sell their dunya and earn the akhirah, and thus they release themselves and free themselves from the fire of Jahannam. And those who sell their hereafter for the dunya, and thus they destroy their souls. So every morning when we set out in our lives, we are taking a great risk. We are selling something. Either we sell our souls or we sell our dunya in order to earn the akhirah. And in doing so, every part of our body is playing its role. Our hands, our feet. And our hands, our feet commit sins. Different organs of our body commit sins. And we are aware of them. We are aware of theft. We are aware of adultery. We are aware of physically hurting and hitting someone. We are aware of walking to sin. So every part of our body plays its role in either earning good or sinning. And people are very watchful and careful. Muslims in general are careful about, or they try to be careful at least, of what their organs of the body do. However, there is one organ of the body to which people pay scant attention, we Muslims included. And that single organ is the tongue. We at times are very careful about what we do with the hands, with the arms, with the legs, with the feet. We are careful about what we walk into. We think before we leap into something. We think before we touch and pick up something. So we do a lot of thinking before any organ, any part of our body does something. But this isn't the same with the tongue. With the tongue, we are very careless. And this one tongue, it's an amazing piece of flesh. It's so small. It's boneless. It's hidden within the mouth. There's only one and not a pair, like many other organs of the body. And yet this one tongue alone can make a person's akhirah or destroy it. This one tongue alone is king of all the organs, and it dictates both piety and evil to the rest of the body. In a hadith narrated by Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an, as recorded by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi in his Musnad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يستقيم إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه ولا يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم لسانه ولا يدخل رجل الجنة من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a man's iman is never perfect until, or it's not straight and perfect until his heart is straight. And a man's heart can never be straight until his tongue is straight. That man will never enter Jannah whose neighbor fears his problems and his inconveniencing him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains how the tongue dictates piety and evil to the rest of the body. We know about the hadith that a person's body can never become pure until the heart is pure. إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says there is a piece of flesh in the body which if pure then the whole body is pure, which if corrupt then the whole body is corrupt. Know that that piece of flesh is the heart. But even with the heart there is something else that rules a heart, and that's a person's tongue. As mentioned in that hadith, if a person's heart can never be straight until a person's tongue becomes straight. And in another hadith narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا أَصْبَحَ بُنَّ آدَمُ فَإِنَّ الْأَعْضَاءَ كُلَّهَا تُكَفِّرُ اللِّسَانَ فَتَقُولُ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِينَا فَإِنَّمَا نَحْنُ بِكَ فَإِنْ اسْتَقَمْتَ اسْتَقَمْنَا وَإِنْ اِعْوَجَجْتَ اِعْوَجَجْنَا. Or كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, Rasulullah عليه الصلاة والسلام says that every morning when man wakes up, all the organs and all the parts of the body, they plead with the tongue. And they say to the tongue, fear Allah in us, because we are as you are. We stand only because of you. Therefore, if you are straight, then we shall be straight. And if you are bent, then we are also bent. So, this tongue, it may seem very weak. It may seem boneless and hidden. And it may seem insignificant. But the truth is that this one tongue alone can be responsible for a person's destruction of the Akhirah or a person's enjoyment of bliss in the Akhirah. In a hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, he quotes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا يَرْفَعُهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَاتٍ وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ سَخَطِ اللَّهِ لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي جَهَنَّمْ. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says that the servant of Allah at times utters one word of the pleasure of Allah to which he attaches no importance and to which he gives no significance. But for that one word alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises him many grades. And the servant of Allah utters one word of the anger and displeasure of Allah, he pays no attention to that one word which he has uttered. But because of that one word alone, he falls in Jahannam. And in a similar hadith narrated by Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, on the authority of Sayyidina Bilal ibn Harith al-Muzani radiyallahu anhu, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, at times man utters one word of the pleasure of Allah, he pays no attention to what he has said. But because of that one word, Allah Azza wa Jal records his pleasure with him until the day he meets Allah. And at times, man utters one single word, he pays no attention to that word, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that one word alone records his anger and his displeasure with that servant till the day that servant meets Allah. So this tongue alone at times can be responsible for a person's destruction or for a person's success and bliss in the Akhirah. But we pay little attention to it. And we may be very careful about the sins that our hands commit. We are very careful about walking towards sin or becoming physically involved and personally involved and participating in sin. In many ways, people abstain from alcohol. People abstain or they try their utmost to refrain from haram food. People ensure that their feet do not carry them, their legs do not carry them, and their feet do not walk towards any place of sin. People ensure that their hands do not grasp anything which is haram or which is unlawful, which is not rightfully theirs. We abstain from theft. We abstain from adultery. We abstain from touching or walking towards anything haram. We abstain from so many different things. However, when it comes to the tongue, we're very careless. We let the tongue loose to say what it wants, how it wants, and we think that it doesn't matter what our tongue says and what it does, as long as we pray our salah, as long as we observe our fasts, as long as we perform our Hajj and Umrah regularly, as long as we give in the way of Allah, then all of these good deeds of the rest of the body are sufficient to compensate for the few errors of the tongue. But that's incorrect. In a famous hadith, narrated by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, he quotes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تدرون من المفلس قالوا المفلس فينا من لا درهم له ولا متاع قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن المفلس من أمتي يأتي يوم القيامة بصلاة وصيام وزكاة ويأتي قد شتم هذا وقذف هذا وأكل مال هذا وسفك دم هذا وضرب هذا فيؤتى هذا من حسناته وهذا من حسناته فإن فنيت حسناته قبل أن يقضى ما عليه أخذ من خطاياهم فطرحت عليه ثم طرح في النار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه says, once the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked the Sahaba, do you know who is a poor and destitute person amongst you? The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, amongst us, the poor and the destitute person is recognized as being one who has no wealth, no dirham, no money and no possessions. And truly that's what we think is a poor and destitute person, someone who has no wealth and no possessions. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the poor and destitute person of my ummah will be he who will come on the day of judgment with the reward of salah, of siyam, of zakah. He will come with the reward of all of these good deeds, but he will come in such a way and in such a state that during his lifetime he would have verbally abused a person, he would have slandered another person, he would have unlawfully taken the wealth of another, he would have shed the blood of another, he would have physically hit another. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge between them. And each of these victims and people who have been wronged will be given from his good deeds as compensation for their suffering, for the wrong that they suffered at his hands. If his good deeds expire before he is able to pay that which is due on him, then their sins will be taken off them and they will be placed on his shoulders, and then he will be thrown into the fire. So Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam explains how a person may have a lot of reward in his salah. He may have a lot of reward of spending in the way of Allah. He may have accumulated great rewards for having observed fasts. But if he has wronged other people, and the surprising thing is, look at the order and the tartib of the hadith. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't mention shedding someone's blood first. He doesn't mention physically hitting another person first. Nor does he mention stealing another person's wealth first. The first sins that he mentions in this hadith, that this person will come in such a state that he would have committed these sins in the dunya, the first two sins are about the tongue. He would have verbally abused a person and he would have slandered another person. So we may be very careful about the sins of the rest of our body. We are quite careless about the sins of our tongue. And we think that it doesn't matter, the ibadah, the excessive ibadah, the excessive spending in the way of Allah, and the other things that we do, they will all compensate for the wrong doings of our tongue. But that's incorrect. This tongue, at times, single-handedly and alone, is responsible for a person's destruction. Once, in a hadith narrated by Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, it's been narrated that he narrates that Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, he entered a room or a place where Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu an was seated. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu an had taken hold of his tongue in this manner and he was pulling it. He was pulling his tongue. So Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu an said, "Mahya Abu Bakr, ghafar Allahu lak." That, "Stop it, O Abu Bakr. Wait. May Allah forgive you. Why are you doing this?" Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu said, pulling his tongue, "Inna hadha awradani al-mawarid." That indeed this tongue has taken me to places of destruction. This tongue has taken me to places of destruction. That was Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the Khalifa of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. There isn't the time and this isn't the opportunity to enumerate his virtues and his standing in Islam. But a man of the caliber of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an is seated pulling his tongue. And when asked by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, why? That may Allah forgive you, why are you doing this? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu says, pulling his tongue, that this tongue has taken me to places of destruction. We should fear our tongue. Because, like I explained earlier, we are very careful at times about the rest of the organs of our body. But when it comes to the tongue, we are very careless. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an would often say that a fool's tongue, a fool's heart is on the tip of his tongue, and a wise man's tongue is in his heart. A wise man thinks a lot, thinks very carefully before he utters a single word. But a fool is one who lets his tongue loose, and in fact his heart is also on the tip of his tongue. We have a habit of talking a lot. We are very careless, we talk a lot. And when we talk a lot, this unnecessarily leads us to committing many sins that are related only to the tongue. We talk a lot, we joke. We become abusive. We speak in offensive tones. We talk a lot. We end up. It's inevitable that in a gathering, when a person or when a group of people talk a lot, they will backbite someone. They will slander someone. They will abuse someone. And each of these sins are major. People may not think of them as being so because we have become so accustomed to speaking a lot and to becoming abusive and offensive and also lying, backbiting and slandering in our talk, that people don't pay much attention to these sins. If someone, we avoid pork to the extent that many Muslims would not even mention the word pig. We avoid mentioning that name so much so that some Muslims spell it out and they say P-I-G, but they will not say pig. We shun pork, we fear it. But we have absolutely no shame in eating the flesh of our fellow Muslim when we do ghibat. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann, inna ba'adh-dhann ithm, wa la tajassasu, wa la yaghtab ba'adhukum ba'adha, ayyuhibbu ahadukum ayyakula lahma akhihi maytan fakrihtumu." Just translating the part related to backbiting, Allah says, and do not backbite one another. Does any one of you wish that he eats the flesh of his dead brother? Surely you will detest this. And we do. It's something we abhor. We can't imagine doing it. But that's exactly what it is. We may shun pork and feel very holy and righteous about it, that our throats and our stomachs do not consume the flesh of swine. And therefore we are pious, we are holy, we are abstaining, we follow the commands of Allah. Then why do we draw this distinction in religion? That we abstain from that, but we will not abstain from eating the flesh of our fellow Muslim. And then a lot of the time we like to console ourselves that no, when we speak about someone else, it's not backbiting. Because if he's here, I will say it to him, or I can say it to him, or I have the courage and the guts to say the same thing before him. Rasulullah alayhi salatu, Sayyidina Abu Umama al-Bahili radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates in a hadith recorded by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi in his Sunan and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi in his Musnad, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا الْغِيبَةِ قَالَ ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ فِي أَخِي مَا أَقُولُ قَالَ إِنْ كَانَ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ اِغْتَبْتَهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ بَهَدْتَهُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that, O Prophet of Allah, what is ghiba, what is backbiting? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you're mentioning something about your brother which he doesn't like. That's it. Regardless of whether you've got the guts to say it to him, or whether he's present, or whether he's absent, or whether you've said it before in his presence, or you are planning to say it in his presence, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you're saying something about your brother which he doesn't like. That is ghibah. So the sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, what about if what I say of my brother is true? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if what you say is true about him, then you have backbited him. And if what you say is not true about him, then you have slandered him. Backbiting and slander have become so common, and we are so accustomed to these sins that at times we feel our gatherings are incomplete without backbiting someone or slandering someone. We feel we haven't had a conversation without bringing someone else into it. And like I said earlier, we abstain from the flesh of swine, but we do not abstain from the flesh of our fellow Muslims. As Allah told the Yahud, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ, that do you believe in part of the book and do you disbelieve in the rest? As Muslims, we accept all the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about pork, about alcohol, and about the blood and the flesh of our fellow Muslims also. But because it's so easy to commit a sin with the tongue, it takes no effort. The mouth opens and the tongue slips out, and the tongue says what it wants, and it's difficult to detect, it's difficult to keep track of it, it's difficult to keep up with it. It's effortless in its sinning. And therefore we've become so accustomed to it, we think that there's no harm. We speak a lot, and in our excessive speech, we backbite, we slander, we become abusive and offensive. In a hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi and the authority of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masood radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sibabul Muslim fusuqun wa qitaluhu kufr, that to abuse a Muslim is a great sinful act, it's fusuq, and to fight with a Muslim is an act of kufr. And in another hadith, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam says, quoted by Imam Hakim rahmatullahi in his Mustadrak and Imam Ibn Hibban, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad and others, on the authority of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masood radiyallahu ta'ala an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بِالطَّعَانِ وَلَا اللَّعَانِ وَلَا الْفَاحِشِ وَلَا الْبَذِي, that a believer is one who doesn't curse all the time, nor is he one who forever taunts others, nor is he offensive or lewd in his speech. But a believer is pure of all of these things. Speaking a lot is a sign of hypocrisy. Speaking little is a sign of faith. Again, Abu Umama al-Bahili radiyallahu ta'ala an narrates in a hadith quoted by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi sunan that al-haya'u wal-ayyu shu'batani min al-iman wal-bada'u wal-bayanu shu'batani min al-nifaq, that modesty and bashfulness and speaking little are two of the branches of iman, of faith. And speaking offensively and being abusive and talking a lot are two branches of hypocrisy, of nifaq. And in a hadith, again narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi, on the authority of Sayyidina Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إن من أحبكم إلي ومن أقربكم مني مجلسا يوم القيامة أحاسنكم خلقا وإن أبغضكم إلي وأبعدكم مني مجلسا يوم القيامة الثرثارون المتشدقون المتفيخون أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام says that the most beloved of you to me, indeed amongst the most beloved of you to me, and the closest to me on the day of judgment, in place, are those of you who are the best in conduct and the best in manners. And the most detestable amongst you to me, and the furthest away from me in place on the day of judgment, are the Tharthaarun, the Mutashaddiqoon, and the Mutfayhiqoon. Tharthaarun means those who talk a lot. Those who speak a lot are Tharthaarun. They are the most detestable to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. And the furthest from him, they will be the furthest from him on the day of judgment. And the second two groups that he mentioned, one, those who speak a lot, Tharthaarun. Second, Al-Mutashaddiqoon. Mutashaddiqoon means those people who put on their speech, who put it on, who affectate their speech. So they don't talk like that normally, but merely to impress or merely to get something, they speak in that fashion. For example, people who like to speak posh, people who like to speak in a particular accent when that accent is not natural to them, people who like to put it on in their speech, people who speak in a particular manner merely to impress others. All of these are cases of tashadduq. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, these people are mutashaddiqoon, and they are the most detestable to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, and the furthest from him they shall be on the day of judgment. And finally, mutafayhiqoon, the sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, we have understood Tharthaarun and Mutashaddiqoon. So who are the Mutafayhiqoon? Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said, those who are arrogant in their speech. People who speak in an arrogant manner. People whose speech smells and stinks and betrays arrogance and haughtiness. These are the Mutafayhiqoon. These three groups, those who speak a lot, those who affectate their speech, and those who are arrogant and sound arrogant and haughty in their speech, they are the most detestable to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, and they shall be the furthest from him on the day of judgment. When we speak a lot, undoubtedly, it's inevitable that we will then quote other people. We will quote other people. We will say all kinds of things, and we'll be extremely careless about what we say. And we don't have much to say ourselves, so often we'll be quoting others, taking from here, taking from there, adding on, exaggerating. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says in a hadith narrated by Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullahi alayhi in his sunan, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says, "Kafa bil mar'ik ithman an yuhaddith bi kulli ma sami'." That it is sufficient for a man to be sinful that he relates everything that he hears. We have a habit that whenever someone speaks to us, We feel an itch in our stomach. We can't keep the thing to ourselves. We have to convey it to someone else. We have to repeat it and pass on the news. And people then develop a habit of rumouring, of gossiping, of creating, spreading, and perpetuating rumours. And these are often, when a person speaks all the time like this, quoting, relating to others, relaying and conveying, then undoubtedly, most of what he says will hardly ever be true. There will always be some element of exaggeration. There will always be some half-truths. There will always be some lies. There will always be some element of unlawful talk in what he quotes. And thus, what will happen? Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, all of this is sufficient for him to be sinful. He will be sinful, even though he doesn't say anything from himself. Rather, he will be quoting others all the time. And even in quoting others, he will prove to be sinful. And in another hadith, narrated by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, in his introduction, same hadith but different wording, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعِ, that it is sufficient for a man to be a liar, that he relays everything that he hears. And this is our habit. Whenever we hear something, we want to quote it. We believe in it immediately. We never do tabayyun. We never check. We never ascertain the truth. And Allah tells us in many different places of the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَنْ تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ, that, O believers, if a fasiq comes to you with some news, then ascertain the truth, lest you inflict suffering upon someone. And then later on, when you realize that it was wrong, it was incorrect, then it's too late, but then you become remorseful over what you have done. And in another verse of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says the same. فَتَبَيَّنُوا وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا, that when you are traveling, then do not reject the salam of anyone who says salam to you, but ascertain the truth, ascertain whatever you do. And this, unfortunately, has become the habit of many, that we quote anything and we relate and convey to others. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعْلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِتُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَاتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Allah says, Allah explains the condition of the people in Medina at that time, the hypocrites and some of the weaker Muslims. Allah says that the way they are is that if any news reaches them relating to the security of the Muslims or relating to some harm that may befall the Muslims, straight away they spread it amongst themselves. They relate and convey to everyone. That is not the character of a true believer. Had they, instead of relaying it and conveying it to everybody, had they referred the matter to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam and to those people of authority amongst them, then those who would have researched the matter, they would have got to the depth of it and they would have discovered its reality. This is far better than rumour mongering and gossip. And Allah says, if it wasn't for Allah's grace upon you, you would follow shaitan, except very little. So when we spread rumors, when we engage in gossip, when we convey and relay everything that we hear to others, then all this talk of ours is following in the footsteps of shaitan. It's following the way of shaitan. And the truth is that when most of us open our mouths, we don't have anything good to say. Allah says, لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس, that there is no good in their conversations, in people's conversations, in mankind's conversations. There is no good whatsoever. The moment someone opens their mouth, nothing good comes out of it, except for three groups, except for three different kinds of people. There is no good in their conversations, except in the conversation of someone who instructs others to give in sadaqah, who to give sadaqah and spend in the way of Allah, or who instructs people to do good. Whenever a person opens his mouth to do and say something good, only then is it acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only then does Allah like his speech. And the third category, there is no good in the conversations of people, except in the conversation of someone who tries to reconcile people and remove their differences. SubhanAllah, these are the only three categories acceptable to Allah. And we, how often is it that when we open our mouth, we do so to instruct and encourage others to spend in the way of Allah, or to encourage and instruct others to do good and to abide by good? And most importantly, how often do we open our mouths to bring people together? Rather, when we speak, when we open our mouths, it's always to divide people. It's always to create conflict. It's always to put in a wedge between two groups, two brothers, two families, two parties. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays down a general rule that when most people open their mouths, they have nothing good to say. There is no good in their conversations. This is a reality of our tongue. This is a reality of our talk, of our speech. We are very careful about everything else. Why don't we as Muslims learn to be careful about what we say? We pride ourselves in not drinking. We pride ourselves in not eating pork. We pride ourselves in abstaining from the sins of the flesh. We pride ourselves in abstaining from haram food. We pride ourselves in keeping our hands, our feet, our legs, our arms, our stomachs, our head, even our hair, clean and pure from haram substances. We are careful about the shampoo, those of us who are. We're careful about the shampoo we use, the soap that we use. We even worry about the small things in the smallest and minutest ingredients of a crisp packet or a packet of biscuits. All is well and good, alhamdulillah, and that's what we should be doing. But when it comes to the tongue, we are extremely relaxed. We just let the tongue loose and take its own course. Whereas the sins of the tongue are far greater than the rest. I mentioned slander earlier. Slander is a big disease. Slander is a major problem in the Muslim community. How many families have been destroyed? How many friends have been turned into enemies of one another? How many good things have come to an end simply because of what someone has said? How many good, honest, upright and reputable people's reputation has been destroyed because of someone's slander? And we do slander, but we don't think anything of it because it's so effortless. One has to go a long way before one drinks. One has to go a long way and do many things before one commits a sin of the flesh. There are so many stages before one reaches the end. But when it comes to the tongue, one just has to open one's mouth, move the two lips, and the sin has been committed. But because it's so simple to commit, we don't pay any attention to it. Slander is a major sin. But we don't pay. We think it's nothing. In one hadith, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, this famous hadith narrated by most authors, including Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi in their sahih. They recall this hadith on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is just one of many sahaba who have narrated this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the sahaba, اجتنبوا السبع المبقات. قالوا يا رسول الله ما هن؟ قال الشرك بالله والسحر وقتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق وأكل الربا وأكل مال اليتيم والتولي يوم الزحف وقذف المحصنات المؤمنات الغافلات. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the sahaba, avoid and beware of these seven destructive sins. The sahaba asked, ya Rasulullah, what are they? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, committing shirk with Allah, magic, killing that soul which Allah has made haram and sacred, except with just cause, consuming riba, interest, usury, unlawfully consuming the wealth of orphans, fleeing from the battlefield on the day of attack, and slandering chaste, innocent, unaware, believing women. Allahu Akbar. If we look at these sins, we will realize that we do something to abstain from most of them. We fear magic. We fear shirk. We fear murder. There are many, alhamdulillah, who are still, despite the pervading influence of interest, there are many who still try to avoid interest at all costs. People are careful those who are about the wealth of orphans. And there are very few of us who have even made the intention of fighting and battling in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the battlefield. But those who are there, to flee from the battlefield on the day of attack is a major sin. We are aware of all of these. And what's the seventh one? Slander. How many of us can say that we have never slandered someone? We may be able to say with confidence and with the feeling of self-righteousness that we have never engaged or been guilty of any of the other six sins. But how many of us can guarantee that in my life I have not said about another Muslim which is something which is untrue of him, because that is slander. Remember, slander doesn't mean that someone calls another an adulterer. People have limited and narrowed the concept of slandering and buhtan and qadh to just adultery. No. To say anything about another Muslim which is untrue of him is buhtan. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in that hadith narrated by Sayyidina Abu Umama al-Bahili radiyallahu ta'ala an, that what is ghiba, what is backbiting? He said, for you to say something about your brother that which he doesn't like. Ya Rasulullah, what about if what I say of him is true? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if what you say of him is true, then you have done his ghiba. You have backbited him. And if what you say is not true about him, then faqad bahatta. You have slandered him. You have thrown a buhtan at him. So how many of us can say that, no, I haven't slandered anybody? We may feel very smug that we've kept away from murder, from magic, from shirk, from riba, from the wealth of orphans, and from fleeing from the battlefield on the day of attack. But Allahu Akbar, how many of us can say that we have not slandered someone? Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam places this sin in the same category. He calls it major. He calls it the destructive seven sins. He places this sin of slander in the same category as magic and murder and a shirk. So, the sins of the tongue are such that they alone can be responsible for destroying a person. But we are not very careful. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, he advised many of the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum on many different occasions that the safest thing is to keep quiet. The safest thing is to keep quiet. And we have to learn as Muslims to adopt silence. We have to learn to speak less, because we, unfortunately, whenever we open our mouths, we divide the Muslims, we create conflict, we create confusion, we commit sin over sin after sin, and we don't even realize. So the safest option is for a person to remain silent. In a hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Muslim, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, he quotes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who says, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فلا يؤذي جاره ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, whoever believes in Allah and in the final day, then let him not hurt and inconvenience his neighbor. Again, I'd like to make a point here. Many of us think that as long as we perform our salah, observe our fasts in Ramadan, spend in the way of Allah, and as long as we do a few good things, then they alone will be sufficient for our salvation in the Akhirah. But that is untrue. There is no division in the religion of Allah. One can't be choosy and pick and select the things that he is going to do and the things that he's not going to bother with. And like I mentioned in the hadith earlier of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, quoted by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, that the poor person of this ummah, the destitute, is one who will come on the day of judgment with the reward of prayer, of fast, of spending in the way of Allah. But he will have come having sinned against and wronged others. They will take all of his good deeds and he will have to shoulder their sins and he will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. Similarly, once in a hadith again narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi, once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was informed about a woman who spent the entire night in prayer and the whole day in fasting. So the Sahaba, they praised a woman, that Ya Rasulullah, Fulana, she prays throughout the night, and the entire day she spends in fasting. But there's one problem. She hurts and inconveniences her neighbor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Hiya fi an-nar." She is in the fire. She is in the hellfire. Her salah and her siyam, her fasting and her prayer did not avail her when she hurt and inconvenienced her neighbor. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, she is in the fire. So similarly with the sins of the tongue, our other ibadat may not compensate for the wrongs of our tongue. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he who believes in Allah and in the final day, let him not hurt and inconvenience his neighbor. He who believes in Allah and in the final day, let him honor his guest. That is a sign of a person's iman. And finally, he who believes in Allah and in the final day, let him say something good, otherwise let him remain silent. Let him say something good or remain silent. It is a part of faith, and it is a sign of iman, that a believer does not open his mouth at all unless he is going to say something good. On the day of judgment, we will be responsible and we will be questioned about every utterance of ours. Even if it may be meaningless, just playful and jest. You know, we talk a lot and therefore we joke a lot. In a hadith related by Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullahi alayhi in his sunnah, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, La yu'minu al-abdu al-iman kullah hatta yatruk al-kadhib wa in kana fil mizah wa yatruk al-mira wa in kana sadiqa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a believer does not complete his faith and he does not become a perfect believer until he abandons lying, even in jest and even as a joke, and until he gives up arguing and debating, even though he may be upon the truth and he may be right. A believer is one who always turns away. Allah says, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When the ignorant address the true servants of Rahman, they are the ones who do not engage in argument and debate with them, but rather they turn away by saying either salam, or they say something which, rather than fuel the situation, fuel the fire, it pacifies it and it keeps them quiet and the thing is over and done with. They say a thing of peace. In a hadith about narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and recorded by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi about fasting, it's a hadith Quds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلَّ عَمَلِ ابْنَ آدَمَ لَهُ إِلَّا الصِّيَامَ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. It's a long hadith that all the actions of man are for him except fasting, because fasting is for me, and I shall personally reward him for it. In the latter part of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الصِّيَامُ جُنَّةٌ فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمَ الصَّوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَصْخَبْ فَإِنْ سَابَّهُ أَحَدٌ وَقَاتَلَ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي امْرُؤٌ صَائِمٌ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that fasting is a shield, but it only remains a shield as long as this isn't part of the hadith, this is my explanation, that the shield only remains as long as a believer doesn't rip that shield, as long as he doesn't destroy it. And in order to preserve and maintain that shield, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, fasting is a shield. Therefore, when any one of you is fasting on a particular day, let him not speak offensively and let him not be abusive or shout. Let him not shout abusively. If someone swears at him and abuses him, or someone argues with him, then let him simply say in reply, I am a man who is fasting. Because the moment he engages in that, he engages in argument and debate with him, or he returns the abuse, then he will have destroyed that shield. So as believers, we have to learn to control our tongue. That the less we say, the less we speak, it is far safer for us. And if we want salvation in the Akhirah, if we want success, both in this dunya and in the Akhirah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us to remain quiet. By remaining quiet, Allahu Akbar, Allah protects a person. In a hadith narrated by Ibn Abi Dunya rahmatullahi alayhi, the Prophet on the authority of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man kaffa lisana satara Allahu awrata." He who withholds his tongue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his faults. He who withholds his tongue, Allah will conceal his faults. He who believes in Allah and in the final day, let him say good, otherwise remain silent. Sayyidina Uqbah ibn Amir radiyallahu ta'ala an, in a hadith narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Muslim, Sayyidina Uqbah ibn Amir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, "Qultu ya Rasulallah, man najah?" Qal, "Amsik alayka lisanak, wal yasa'ka baytuk, wabki ala khatiyatik." I said, "Ya Rasulallah, what is salvation? How can I be saved? What is salvation?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Withhold your tongue. Withhold your tongue. And let your house confine you," meaning remain within the confines of your home, "and weep over your sins." If you do these three things, these are the means of salvation. You do these three things and you'll be saved. But what's the first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Withhold your tongue, withhold your tongue. In a hadith narrated by Imam Hakim rahmatullahi in his Mustadrak, and Imam Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says such beautiful and eloquent words, such concise but comprehensive advice. He says, "Al-wahdatu khayrun min jaleesi su'u, wal-jaleesu salihu khayrun min al-wahda, wa imla'u al-khayri khayrun min al-sukut, wal-sukutu khayrun min imla'i shar." He says solitude is far better than bad company, and good company is far better than solitude. And to say something good is better than remaining silent, but remaining silent is far better than to say something evil. When a person adopts silence, he is saved both in the dunya and in the akhirah. In a hadith narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and Imam Darimi rahmatullahi alayhi, on the authority of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man samata naja." He who kept silent saved himself. He who remained silent was saved. And that's true in every sense of the word, both in the dunya and in the akhirah. In a hadith narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi and Ibn Majah in his Sunan, on the authority of Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, "قلت يا رسول الله حدثني بأمر أعتصم به." فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, "قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم." قلت يا رسول الله ما أخوف ما تخاف عليه, فأخذ بلسان نفسه وقال هذا. Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu says, "I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 'Ya Rasulullah, tell me something that I can adhere to, that I can abide by, I can stick to. Give me a word of advice that I can stick to.'" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "That say, 'I believe in Allah and remain firm and steadfast upon that.'" I then asked, "Ya Rasulullah," here's a sahabi asking, "Ya Rasulullah, what do you fear the most for me? What do you fear the most about me that I could do something wrong?" Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't reply in words. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took hold of his own tongue and said, this is what I fear the most for you. This is what I fear the most for you. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates in a hadith, again quoted by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was approached by a man who said to him, Ya Rasulullah, idhni wa awjiz. That, O Prophet of Allah, give me some advice and be brief. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إذا قمت في صلاتك فصل صلاة مودع ولا تتكلم بكلام تعتذر منه غدا واجمع الإياس مما في أيدي الناس. He gave him three words of advice. He said, when you stand up to pray salah, perform the salah of a departing person. Imagine that this is your final salah. Number two, do not ever say anything for which you will have to apologize tomorrow. And finally, convince yourself and despair of the possessions that people have. Meaning, don't covet what people have because it belongs to them. And if you will continue to covet those possessions, you will merely hope for them and burn for them, but they won't come to you. Therefore, convince yourself from the very beginning and despair of the possessions of people. But the advice that he gave him was, don't say anything for which you will have to apologize tomorrow. In all of these hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being asked by the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum for unique, brief, concise, comprehensive, saving advice. And nearly in every single occasion in these hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told them, if you want brief advice, if you want to be saved, if you want to know what salvation, withhold your tongue, safeguard your tongue, remain silent. And in one very beautiful hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad Muhammad rahmatullahi in his Muslim, Ibn Majah in his Sunan, and Imam Tirmidhi in his Sunan, on the authority of Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala an, Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala an, who says, one day we were travelling and I managed to get close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on my mount. So he was on his mount, I was on my mount, and I managed to come close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I said to him, Ya Rasulullah, tell me something which will distance me from the fire of hell and which will take me into Jannah. Tell me something which will take me away and distance me from the fire of hell and take me into Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَظِيمًا وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ. That, O Mu'adh, indeed you have asked for a great thing, one thing which will save you from the fire of Jahannam and take you into Jannah. O Mu'adh, you have asked for a great thing, but surely it is easy for those whom Allah chooses to make it easy. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, worship Allah in such a way that you do not commit any shirk with him. Establish salah, give zakah, fast in the month of Ramadan, and perform the hajj of the house of Allah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued and said, O Mu'adh, should I not tell you? Should I not inform you of the doors of all good, meaning of certain deeds which are doors for all good and all khair? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, fasting, for it is a shield. Sadaqah, spending in the way of Allah, for it extinguishes one's misdeeds and sins just as fire extinguishes water. And praying salah in the darkness of the night. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verses that the Jafa junubuhum anil madaji'i yad'una rabbahum khawfan wa tama'an mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun fala ta'lamu nafsun ma ukhfiya lahum min qurrati a'yun jazaan bima kanu ya'malun. That these true servants of Allah, they are those whose sides are kept away from their beds at night. They plead with their Lord and they pray to him, both in hope and out of fear. And we, what we have bestowed upon them, of that they spend. So therefore, for such people, none of these souls knows the good reward and the coolness of the eyes that has been prepared for them and that has been concealed for them in the Akhirah as a reward and as a result of the good that they used to do. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse. And then he continued and he said, O Mu'adh, should I not inform you of the foundation of religion, of the pillar of religion and the peak of religion? O Mu'adh, the foundation of religion is Islam. The pillar of religion is Salah. And the peak and the pinnacle of religion is Jihad. But O Mu'adh, should I not inform you of something which encompasses all of this? Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, he said, tell me something which will distance me from the fire of Jahannam and take me into Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have asked for a great thing, but it is easy for those whom Allah chooses to make it easy. And then he mentioned Tawheed, not committing shirk, worshipping Allah, fasting, praying salah, establishing salah, giving in the way of Allah, performing the Hajj. Then he mentioned those deeds that are the doors for all good. Fasting is a shield. Sadaqah extinguishes one's sins just as fire is extinguished by water. And a man's prayer in the middle of the night of Tahajjud. Then he tells him that should I not tell you of the foundation, the pillar and the pinnacle and the peak of religion? The foundation of this religion is Islam. The pillar is Salah and the pinnacle is Jihad. After all of this, he still tells him, O Mu'adh, should I not inform you of something that encompasses all of this? Sayyidina Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, why not, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took hold of his tongue and said, Taqufa alayka hadha. The thing which encompasses all of these good deeds is that you withhold your tongue. You withhold your tongue. Sayyidina Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, will we be taken to task? Will we be held to account for what our tongues utter? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, ثَكَلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذِ وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَىٰ وُجُوهِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتَهِمْ. That, oh, may your mother lose you, O Mu'adh. Do you not realize that is there anything else, meaning there is nothing else, which throws people flat onto their faces in the fire of Jahannam except the harvest of their tongues? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the word hasa'id, meaning the harvest, because when a person cuts the harvest, when a person cuts the crops and reaps the harvest, initially at least, people gather all fruits, all the vegetables and all the crops, both good and bad. And when it comes to cutting, people just take everything initially. Later on, the crops are separated, the crops are sifted through, the good is taken away and removed from the bad. But initially, it's just the harvest. Everything is taken in. Similarly, our tongues are just like broomsticks, brooms, brushes. We pick up everything, dirt, filth, the occasional good. But most of it is sinful and evil. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may your mother lose you, O Mu'adh. Is there anything else which throws people flat onto their faces in the fire of Jahannam apart from the harvest of their tongues? Truly, to remain silent is to be saved. And silence is salvation in both this dunya and in the akhirah. And he who can learn to remain silent, to speak less. In a hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, his Musnad, on the authority of Sayyidina Hussein, the son of Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he quotes Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as saying, min husn islam al-mar qillatul kalam fima la ya'ni, that part of a person's being a good Muslim and part of a person's good Islam is that he speaks very little about things which do not concern him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to appreciate the evils of the tongue and to realize this danger. May Allah make us amongst those who are the most beloved to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam and the closest to him on the day of judgment, because we speak little and we safeguard our tongues. May Allah make us amongst those who are distanced from the fire of Jahannam and who are taken into Jannah and who are granted salvation and who are protected both in this world as well as the hereafter, because we safeguard our tongue, we protect it, we withhold it, and we speak only when absolutely necessary. And even then, we learn to speak only good. SubhanAllah, in a hadith narrated by Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh, in his Muwatta, he quotes that once Sayyidina Isa ibn Maryam alayhim as-salatu was-salam was walking along the path, and he had his companions with him, and a pig was standing there by the road. So Sayyidina Isa ibn Maryam alayhim as-salatu was-salam addressed the pig and said to the pig, "You may walk across the path and do not fear, no harm shall come to you." So one of his companions said, "Oh, Isa ibn Maryam, do you say something like this to a pig?" So Sayyidina Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam said, "I only say good because I fear that unless I say good, I will give my tongue the habit of speaking evil. I speak like this to this pig because I fear that if I speak otherwise, my tongue will develop a habit of speaking ill and evil." And that's no fable, it's a narration in the Muwatta of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to understand. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasooli nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik nashadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
This lecture was given by Shaykh Abu Yusuf Riyadul Haq and has been presented to you by Al-Kawthar Productions. For further information, additional lectures and books, contact us on 0121-773-5191 or alternatively by post at Al-Kawthar Productions, P.O. Box 6008, Birmingham, B10-0UW, United Kingdom, or visit our website at www.alkawtharacademy.org. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.